Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Pat Lincioni, your host, joined by Cody Thompson, my co-host. How you doing, Cody?
I'm having fun.
We're here together today in California. Bo Johnson, we've got you in studio. How you doing, Bo?
Happy to be here.
We have Matt Lincioni on the keyboards, as I like to say, our engineer. What's our topic today, Cody?
Non-working genius.
Non-working genius. That's right.
That's right.
The six types of working genius, but what's a non-working genius? Well, that's when we have to do things outside of work. Sometimes that's vacation, but it still involves work-like activities. It's leisure, it's hobbies, it's fun. It might be retirement, but it's work-related because you've got to do activities that require skills. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to apply the six types of working genius to things we do outside of work. And it's June, so a lot of people are going on vacation, and that's not a bad place to start. So you're going on vacation, and you think, what should I do? Consider your working genius when you plan your vacation, or otherwise you're going to come back from that vacation. You're going to need a vacation to rest.
Yep.
Makes sense, Bo?
A friend of mine recently had a sabbatical, so he got 6 weeks off.
Perfect.
He's a WD, and so he wanted to meet together to talk about how to plan a sabbatical, and it sounded exhausting to me. Because it was a lot of reflective time. It was a lot of time of getting counseling. It was very little play. And for me, I'm an inventor galvanizer. When I go on vacation, I want to do things I've never done before. I want to go meet people I've never met before. I want to try new things. I actually get energized on Saturdays by coaching my 8-year-old's football team because it's all galvanizing work and writing plays. But my wife, who's a discerner tenacity, that would totally drain her to have to come up with new things and try new adventures.
And you have to consider that because one man's trash is another man's treasure. One man's vacation is another man's misery.
Yes. Yeah.
And yet we don't think of that. And we think, well, I get everybody loves doing that, you know? And it's like, no, it's going to depend on who you are. None of us get to do anything perfectly. But if we're not even aware of where we get energy and joy, like right now we could sit here and talk about the perfect sabbatical.
Yeah.
So Laura and I, my wife, we actually wrote a book, which is interesting, years ago. It never got published, but we should try to do that again, about how to travel with your
right.
spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And a big part of it was, what do you love doing and what do you not? Because we went to Europe, and she and I have similar personalities. We didn't go to a bunch of museums. We didn't go on a bunch of tours. You know, we didn't go climb mountains. We went and actually just met people on the street, enjoyed the culture, relaxed, slept in, got to know what it was like to be in Italy or Germany and enjoy the culture. That's kind of what we do. Other people, you go on vacations with them, like, we're up at 8 a.m. We're going to go here. We're going to go there. We're going to go there. We're going to go see the largest ball of twine in the world in Bavaria. And it's like, it's not even fun. And a lot of people have tension because they've never thought about what suits them.
It's not fun for you guys to check things off a list. That isn't motivating to you at all, to get the Rick Steves guidebook to Italy and check through things.
No.
You want to go experience it.
Yes.
But for somebody else, they would love to go check off a list.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that would be energizing. I can't imagine that. But there are people that are that way.
Well, I think it's interesting because you're talking about, there's really two parts to this. One is actually planning the vacation, like the coming up with the idea of what would be a good vacation for our family, and
I
then
like
actually
that.
Executing it. Because here's what happens at my house. I am a discerner galvanizer as a working genius. My wife is a discernment tenacity working genius, and she has invention as a frustration. I have it as a competency.
Right.
But let's not even talk about vacation. Pretty much every time it gets to about Thursday in the week, she asks me, well, what should we do this weekend? And I have just a hard time because of invention as a competency. I end up going to my genius, which is, well, what are the things that we've done in the past that were really good and fun for us? So I'm just using discernment rather than coming up with a new idea. And then we end up sort of discerning through like, and feeling guilty that we're not trying new things. We should, you know, we moved to a new area. Should we be trying new things? Where do we go? And that is really hard. And before working genius, I actually felt a lot of guilt. My wife, who's a T tenacity, wanted to go, let's make a plan. And then the onus was on me to come up with the idea for the plan. And it was kind of difficult and not that fun for me to every weekend feel like I'm barely getting it right on what we should do for weekend plans.
Wow. The fact that she just said, what should we do this weekend, is like, we need to have a plan and we need to do it, accomplishment. And at the end of it, we could say we did that.
Tenacity kicking in.
I'm like, hey, you know what a perfect weekend is? Total freedom.
Yeah. Mm. Well, and your wife doesn't have tenacity, so she's not knocking on your door looking for a plan.
She's loving that too.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
It is really interesting how often comparison is coming up when we talk about working genius and just in life and leadership of, if you will just frame your weekend, your leisure time, your retirement in terms of what brings me joy, energy, and fulfillment, not what is everybody else doing and how can I make sure I do that? If you first just asked, maybe you could even do an audit of your last vacation or your last couple weekends, the last time you had leisure time, and said, when did I end that weekend feeling more filled up than drained? And how many of us have been on a vacation where we came back and said, I need a vacation for my vacation? Well, it was probably planned pretty poorly for you and for your wiring, for your geniuses, because that should be time that you're spent working in your geniuses as much as possible. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that you're absolutely right. That when Pat said earlier about going on vacation with, like, let's say another couple where somebody says, we're up at 8, here's the plan, blah, blah, blah. That person is probably a galvanizer tenacity person. Like, they're disruptive. They have a plan, they've made plans, and they're trying to rally everyone around the plan. Now, if you take the person that you just mentioned, your wonder or discernment friend, who enjoys the pondering side of that, and put them on a vacation with the galvanizing tenacity person, one or both of them will be frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, because they have different ideas of what fills them up and what will drain them. And so it's really interesting to think through the lens of working genius as you're planning activities or even bringing people into vacation plans with you. At least you can go into it the same way you would go into work, that every job is a six-letter job. Every vacation, every leisure activity is a six-letter activity, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You still have to ask the question, should our family go on vacation and where should we go and come up with new ideas? And then you still have to get a hotel room and make sure you have like a transportation booked. But if you go into it knowing, okay, here's where we're going to struggle as a family, it can take on a totally new, you sort of relieve the guilt. And you can go into it going like, hey, this part's not going to be that fun, but we have these activities planned and it's going to be wonderful for us.
Exactly. And you go into it prepared. I can steel myself for a day of doing something I don't like because I know why I don't like it and it's a temporary period of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I've got a business idea. Here we go live. Somebody out there who is a vacation planner, you should send the working genius to every person who you're planning their trip. If they're going to San Francisco or to Disneyland or to London, send the couple or the family the working genius assessment and then say, based on what you learned about them, you should design the trip around them.
Right.
Absolutely. And even figure out how to serve them in the planning of it. Like, think about this. So my wife and I, we moved into this new house and we needed furniture. We moved from a very small house to a big house. It took us 3 consecutive days to decide on what bed we were going to get for the guest bedroom. Like 3 nights of looking online. And it was mostly because we don't have invention. We're not going to come up with a new plan for that. So what we decided, what was best for our family, was to pay a designer a little bit of money. And all the designer does, and this is wonderful for us, we both have discernment, every other week or whatever, we get online and they show us, here's 4 options I pulled for you.
Pick one.
Pick one of these. And we go, oh, we can use our discernment to pick this. So in the vacation planning industry, you might actually, like, if it were you, Bo, and someone was serving your family, you have invention. You probably will throw out like, here's 5 ideas.
Yes.
But really what you need is someone to help you evaluate what's right for your family.
Yes.
Use some discernment and say, here's how you should do it. Or you don't have tenacity. They need to be the bookers of the trip. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Because my wife, when someone takes, she has tenacity. If the vacation planner took the actual planning part, like the Excel spreadsheet from her and the she would be like, oh, that was the part I like that part, you know? So it's just interesting.
And then you can talk about, all right, in this part of the week, let's say you have a family with lots of different geniuses, you could say, hey, this part of the week is going to be a little more frustrating for you. But because we've got this other thing built in for me as an inventor, it'd be frustrating if we went to the same restaurant 5 times, right? So you could say, Bo, this is so fun. At this trip, we've thought about you because we're going to get to go try new things. You're going to get to invent a schedule. And then you're going to say to my kid who's more wants things to be a little more safe to be like, but don't worry, we're going to sleep in the same place every night. You know, you could know how to speak to your clients about how to serve them. Somebody ought to email us and start this business right now. This is amazing.
And it's so true. And it speaks to the power of working genius, because what I was thinking was when we wrote this book, it was called Travel Mates, the 10 Commandments of
Traveling
Successful
with your,
Co-Travel. Co-travel. And one of them was, okay, what's the mission of your trip? Which sounds very wonky, but it depends on what your working genius. The other one is, what are your pet peeves?
Right.
What are things you don't like? Huh. And so often it comes down to your working genius. I remember years ago, we had a Christmas party at the table group, and somebody booked a mansion in San Francisco, and we went there, and we cooked our own food. And we had these cooks that were there, and they gave us a recipe, and they told us how to do it. And I was like, what the hell is this? And I don't want to cook my own food, and I don't want to follow a recipe. If you want me to cook my own food, how about just throw a bunch of ingredients and say, make something interesting? Because
yeah.
I'm an I and a D. If you want me to taste food and tell you if it's good or not, I'll do that. I don't want to do that. That's ET work. It just didn't fit my working genius. And other people are like, oh, fun. I can't wait.
Yeah.
This is my favorite seasonal activity at the table group around Christmas time, is going back over all the failed previous Christmas activities we've done.
And so
but we're getting better.
Yeah. So much of this is about self-awareness, because for you as an inventor discerner, you might like a different vacation than somebody else. And for me as an inventor galvanizer, there's another inventor galvanizer out there who doesn't resonate with anything that I've said. The idea is to learn and to use your own geniuses as self-awareness to think, what's going to bring me joy and energy? And then for the people you're with, to ask, how can I really serve them well?
And then not to be judgmental about other people who say, I don't like to do that. How can you not like going to the Louvre? I mean, let's spend all day there. Do you know how much great art is there? And they're just like, yeah, but that doesn't make me a bad person. It just means that doesn't suit what gives me joy and energy.
Well, and it does actually, you know, because there are different activities. It's not that working genius would describe why you like the, because a discerner might like going in there and going, I want to see why people love this art. I want to understand what's good about this. So it's not that, and there's layers here. It's not all explained by working genius.
Two people could like doing the same thing, but for completely different reasons.
Absolutely.
But it gives us language about why we maybe have different preferences when we go into leisure time.
Right.
Whether it's the weekend, vacation, non-work time.
I was talking to a couple friend of ours who the husband is a wonder galvanizer and the wife is a galvanizer tenacity person. And they asked my wife and I, so practically, how do you guys use working genius when you're making decisions in your marriage? And when we described, here's probably what, you know, you're probably prone as the wonder to identify problems, like maybe we should do this or maybe we should do this. You don't have any invention between the two of you, so you probably don't come up with new solutions. And then you probably galvanize each other around, well, it's sort of like spontaneous argument or debate, like who can win, who can motivate the other person to do
convince
their plan.
Convince the other,
And they were just like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we do, you know? And so I think one of the big ahas here for my family that we've been, and other couples have shared is that you have to know what to outsource a little bit or bring people. And when I say outsource, I don't mean pay. Like now, knowing that I don't have invention, I literally, this morning on the flight, Bo and I were together and I said, Bo, hey, tell me about the 5 best campsites you've been to around our area. And he had said, there's this one that's an hour away. And I was like, describe it a little more to me. And it was more gravel and didn't have a fire pit. And I was like, that's not right for our family. But I just use him for invention. And I think this is what's great. Like this means that we need each other.
Absolutely.
Not just at work where we want all the geniuses represented, but when we're doing stuff in leisure, it's great to be able to go to somebody else, another couple, a friend in your life, and say, can you help me with this? Because I really am struggling, because it's a gift to them.
That's absolutely true. We do need each other. I just realized what I loved about the sabbatical that Laura and I went on 30 years ago. So 30 years ago this summer, we went for 5 weeks, and we went to Orcas Island up in Canada. And so all I had to do was find a house. And we had a house there for like 3.5 weeks, and then moved to a different house for 2 weeks. And here's what we did. We had nothing planned, which was key for us, because she's a wanderer. She loves to kind of just spend time in nature. We'd wake up, we'd go for a jog or row a little boat around a lake or something like that. We'd come back. I was working on my first book, The 5 Temptations of a CEO. And that was vacation for me because I loved getting to do some invention.
Right.
We got paint and and easels and put them on the front porch of this house on Orcas Island. And we'd wake up and paint for a couple hours just for fun. Cool. And then we would play a game. And then we would, we had nothing planned, no schedule, all very interactive, low-key discussions, heady things. Hmm. Other people would have said, why didn't you go on a, like a climbing mountains or get a boat and go out and find whales and all these other, which stuff that's all fun and everything. But we were just like, we are going to just shut it down and be present. Mm-hmm. And many people would say, that sounds boring. And it's like, yeah, it would to somebody else. And I know other people say, we went camping and for 5 days we climbed this mountain. We set up camp every night and we cooked for ourselves. We tied everything up in a tree so the bears wouldn't get it. That sounds miserable to me. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And so I realize now what I'm going to do for my 30th anniversary with my wife this year. And it's certainly not climbing a mountain.
Yeah,
we're going to do something very much like that sabbatical. But I wish I'd known about Working Genius before, because I'd have probably avoided a lot of vacations that weren't that fun.
Right.
That I thought everybody else said, you got to do this.
You know, I love that application to it. And I think we've talked a lot about like vacations and that sort of thing. But when we just said non-working genius, it means any activity outside, like even leisure activities. And what I love that you just brought up, Bo, was before we hit record, you said, hey, actually, you know what has been really fun for me lately is I started to coach my son's football team as an inventor galvanizer. I'm coming up with new plays for the defense and I get to motivate the kids around them. It's like for somebody else, that leisure activity would not sound like leisure. It would mm-hmm. sound like, or they would have to find a different way to do it, to be that coach.
Well, you know? And there's a lot of coaches out there who are not IGs who are coaching in a different way, but that doesn't work for me. Mm-hmm. It works for me to have plays named after the things that the kids love. You know what I mean? It works to be able to galvanize them around the chants that we're going to do and give them prizes based on who does the best cheering for each other. But for some other coach, it's going to be more about discipline or about serving the kids. And there's a lot of great ways to be a successful coach. Now, I'm not that successful as a coach, but we're having fun.
Yeah. Well, I think about a lot, actually, because when I either you come to my house or I come to your house, our home offices almost every day. And it's interesting because in the mornings, when I get to your house, you say, oh, I wrote a little this morning. And before you come to my house, what I do is I start my day. That's invention. What you mm-hmm. do is invention and it fills you up. The start of my day is interesting. I actually go out and find and open about 5 different websites that actually, you know, have different information about our company. And I start discerning to start my mm-hmm. day. I'm like,
that's fascinating.
Oh, here's what people are saying about this. And here's where our sales are. And here's this. And it actually makes the very beginning of my day really fulfilling to me. I don't start writing. I don't start creating something right away. I actually use discernment out of the gate. And then the very next thing, you know, our first meeting, we're using galvanizing to get people going around the things that we've discerned. So it's just the way, like you said, self-awareness and knowing as you go on vacation, who you're going with and what ways are you going to frustrate them and they frustrate you, or what things do you need some help around? And how do you take working genius outside of work and make it fulfilling for you?
Absolutely. Non-work and work, they all involve activities and they all involve talents and skills. And we're meant to find as much joy and energy as we can from those activities. So that's what this one's about. We should do one about what you do first in the morning. I wonder how that impacts working genius. I haven't thought about that. But I wonder if you should start your day doing things that fit that working genius. Mm. Because so often, like when I think about people in the army, it just crushes me when they're like, wake up, make your bed, do this, do that. It's very T-oriented. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I'm stressing out already. That's the topic of another podcast. Okay, so thanks for joining us today as we talked about how to use Working Genius outside of work, which is just as important. And we'll talk to you next time on the Working Genius Podcast. God bless.